What is up, golf addicts? David here with the Tour Junkies. And this is a special episode. If you saw our Periscope earlier, our number one agenda item is to assess the situation, or assess the situation. And what we're talking about is, this is a rare occasion. Me and Pat are together in the same room, staring in each other's eyes for the podcast this week. Are you ready for this, Pat?
I think I am.
You ready?
I think I'm ready. I can handle it.
Okay. Yeah. It's an exciting time. We're in Orlando. We're getting ready for the PGA show, which is one of our favorite weeks of the year. It's like Christmas for me. I can't wait. It's our first night in. We've done our Farmers Insurance research on the road on the way here, and we are camped out. But we've also got a special guest with us who's a friend of the podcast, and we actually met him for the first time at the PGA show last year. Just a great guy. His name's Russ Ortiz, and he is the founder of 2GG, or Second Guy Golf Apparel. What's up, Russ?
I'm just happy to be here with you guys, man. This is awesome that we're hanging together.
Yeah, it's going to be a good week. And you had a great year last year, I know, with 2GG. But why don't you tell our listeners who may not be familiar, like, you know, who you are, how you got started in this, and like kind of how your career went into the golf world, and then what 2GG does and how they can support what you're doing.
I played professional baseball, played in major leagues for 12 seasons. From 1998 to 2010, and just lived out a dream. It's still, you know, I think back, it's still kind of mind-blowing to think that I got to do everything that I've dreamed about doing since I was 5 years old. And so once I retired in 2010, I wanted to make sure I spent time with my family as much as possible, because we're gone a lot during the seasons. But I knew I wanted to do something where I can get my hands dirty, where I can be involved and impact people with it. And what I decided was I wanted to do something I was passionate about. And golf is something I'm, you know, really passionate about. And then giving back and helping other people is what I'm passionate about. And that all comes from baseball. You know, my love of golf, like, really came from playing baseball. And love of helping other people get involved in the community came from baseball. So I married the two, and you know, it's not something that I ever envisioned myself doing, but I started a golf apparel company, and so we started off as Second Guy Golf and Second Girl Golf, and now we go by 2GG Apparel, and men's and women's golf apparel, and we give 100% of our net profits to charity. Like I said, just
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Pitting the two passions of mine together, and I've been fortunate to have great people on my team that are passionate about the same things, and so we've been doing well. We've been growing every year, and I think we make really, really good golf apparel.
Yeah, you do.
And apparel that lasts, apparel that performs well, and really what we tell everybody is that it's tour tested. I mean, we have Alex Shaker wears it on tour.
Yeah.
This year we'll be making a couple announcements of some new players that we have.
Nice.
On the web, and we have four or five ladies this year that are on the LPGA. So we've had a great team of people, and they're our best testers. I mean, they're out there grinding it out every single day, hitting more balls than we would in a week,
yeah,
maybe in one day, you know. And so they're out there as our best testers. And so that's why we, you know, tell people our stuff is tour tested, because, you know, we get great feedback from them, and that helps us build a better brand.
Yeah, you guys do have good stuff. I know that the hat that I have from last year, my son has stolen it.
Yeah,
I tweeted a picture about it not too long ago.
Yeah, I got to know, though, and I think I know the answer to this question, but, you know, when you look at, so just the name 2GG, I mean, so Second Guy Golf or Second Girl Golf, is that basically in reference to the guy? Like, I always know, like, if you you take a practice putt or something after you've already hit a putt and you miss the putt, but you, the second guy always makes the putt. You know what I mean? Like you're, or you hit a, you're, you hit a practice shot after you,
your bubble ball.
Yeah, yeah. Is that kind of where that comes from, or what's the, what's behind the 2GG name?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly where it comes from. That saying goes that second guy's always better, and it came up with a buddy of mine, a teammate, back in 2009, actually here in this area. We're actually at Reunion down the road, and we had a shot. It was about 120 yards, both of us, and we came up short and not very happy about that. And so we threw another ball down, and we both took the swing that we should have taken the first time and got on the green. And so that's really where the whole idea came up, is about second guy golf, is because we, you know, we not only said that, but we, the, our golfing buddies said it as well. And so that's where the name came up. I thought it was great. I thought it was funny. I thought it was something that, you know, most golfers would relate to, and
makes for a good logo too.
Yeah,
the logo's good.
And it, well, and it ended up being, you know, something our logo that we have now that I really love, and works out really nice because it shows the two passions. You know, with our logo, it's a two with a circle around it, and but there's a break within the two and the circle just to show, and they're both different colors, and so that kind of shows the two passions that, you know, one color represents a passion for golf and the other one for giving back. So, you know, and it looks good. You know, so I'm really happy with how it all turned out.
What are some of the nonprofits that you guys give back to?
We've given back to places like the Phoenix Children's Hospital, you know, there in Arizona. Feed My Starving Children, which is a organization that packs meals and sends them to, you know, all around the world, 70 plus countries around the world, and they have a packing center there in Mesa. That's where we're stationed at. That's where I live, and great organization. And the amount of money it takes to feed a child is not very much, and so you know, last year with the sale of a polo, you know, you got to feed a child for over a month, so, which I thought was really cool. Wow, just yeah. From one sale, the polo, and then we've helped name is called back then it was Josie's Angels, and now it's Remember the Lily, and it's a girls' rescue home in the Philippines, and it was started by Josie Long, and she's, I believe she's 28 years old right now, and she's been doing it for about a handful of years, and so, you know, so since she's about 23, 24, she's been a mom to anywhere from, you know, 18 to 43 girls,
wow,
somewhere around there, and so, yeah, so she's felt a real call-in for that. And then we've helped out with various other tournaments that are trying to raise money. Girls golf, USGA girls golf, the Peggy Kirk Bell Tour that's in the Carolinas.
Cool.
Stuff like that. I mean, this, and most recently, you know, able to donate a bunch of a product to the First Tee of Phoenix. And so, you know, for me, it's any organization that, or the ones that we like to help, are the ones that help to give other people second chance, whether it's second chance at health, job, food, you know, housing,
yeah,
clothes, all that stuff. And so what, so when I talk to people, and what we try to lean towards to give is the people that run the organizations, you know, finding out like why they do what they do. And everyone we've connected with is because they have a passion to help to try to give someone a second chance at, you know, at life in some way, shape, or form. And that's what I love. So it's not about just us donating to just places and just writing a check. It's about, you know, we try to connect with the people that really have a passion to help the people that they they're trying to raise money for.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, you mentioned the players that, you have, you know, not only LPGA, but PGA and Latin America Tour. But, you know, so you've got that. That's been growing. And last year was obviously a good year for you guys. What about this year? You know, we're here at the PGA show. So, you know, anything new that's going to be happening for y'all in 2017? You know, we'll, David and I will get to see some of that stuff while we're here. But just tell us, you know, what's kind of the future for 2GG and 17 and beyond?
Well, yeah, as far as our product, yeah, we're going to be breaking out some new gear that we haven't had before for both men and women. And so we're really excited about that. And we're going to have a really cool fashion show March 3rd in Scottsdale, the W Scottsdale for Scottsdale Fashion Week.
Do you need a male model, Pat? Pat's doing that. That's a male model.
You don't want that. You want to sell stuff.
We're taking applications now. So.
You have to apply, Pat.
You know, David makes a joke like that, but he would love for you to invite him to do that. So let me tell you right now, he would.
Dude, all you have to do is take your shirt off, Pat.
So yeah, so we got that. I mean, it's going to be a fun night.
Oh, that's cool.
We plan to have it's during spring training, so we plan to have a lot of ball players and their, you know, wives and other loved ones, and so it's going to be, you know, great music, all that stuff, and be able to showcase our apparel, and then also we're going to do like a kind of on the course, off the course themed, where on the course would be our stuff, off the course would be from a boutique called Amy's Inc. And so we're really looking forward to that. Like I said before, just, you know, a couple of our players that we signed, you know, new for this year. And so we'll break that out.
Come on, man, I'm gonna break that out on the podcast.
No, I was trying to get it out of you.
No, yeah, I'll tell you, we were fortunate to sign Stefan Jaeger, who's on the web, and he shot 58 last year on the web, and good dude.
Seemed like a good guy. When he shot that 58, he had some good interviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the guys that I know from the web say that he's a really good dude, and we were able to get him on the team, and he teamed up with Alex for the World Cup of Golf this past November, and so got a little better glimpse of you know, who he is, what he's all about. Alex really likes him, and so we're excited about that. And then we added another gal on from LPGA. She's a rookie this year. Her name is Catherine Perry, and she's actually a graduate from the Peggy Kirk Bell Tour. So that's how we met her. We met her last year, and just kept up with her, and so was just very excited to have her a part of the team. And but yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of exciting things. I mean, like I said, our new gear that we have, you know, for men and women, and things, you know, we hadn't done before, like jackets and pants and shorts, and, you know, for both men and women and stuff like that. And
You guys didn't have the pants and shorts last year.
No,
or the jackets. There's polos and hats last year.
Yeah. So nice. For men, yeah, it's polos, hats, and for women, you know, we had the skorts and dresses and stuff like that, and, you know, of course we'll have that, but yeah, so we had a couple more pieces, and so we're looking forward to breaking those out and seeing how those go, and there's a lot of other things down the road that we hope to try to do, but we'll be able to showcase our, you know, what we have currently now, what we're coming up for spring, and then next fall.
Okay, so I got my last question. This is non-2GG related, because, you know,
I have one of those too.
Yeah, I mean, we got a former professional baseball player here. So I need to ask you. All right, so you obviously played a lot of golf when you're out. So when you're, you know, going around to different places and with your teammates. So who is the best golfer you've played with that was a major league player besides John Smoltz? You can't say John Smoltz. So you cannot say John Smoltz. Who's the next best?
Oh, man.
Otis Nixon.
Ron Gant.
Oh, I love Ron Gant.
They were before me. So
they were before me. Making Russ too old. Yeah. He's not that old.
Smoltz played. Now, he was...
Smoltz is good. I mean, gosh, Greg Maddux is really good. Mm-hmm.
He probably plays like you, Pat. He hits it like 230.
Yeah, straight, it's probably straight down time. The middle every time, yeah.
I mean, I played a couple times with Adam LaRoche, and he's good. He hits the ball really far and yeah. really well. I mean, he strikes it nice. And but I only played with him a couple times, and I know, you know, he's gotten better over the years, but, he's pretty legit. But, yeah, I'd probably say, gosh, man, it's hard. I'd like to say now me.
It might be. I don't know.
I'd put myself the other way. Who's someone that most people would probably think, you know, real athletic, should be a great golfer, but just absolutely was terrible? Just you would.
Well, that's the one thing, is that when I was with the Braves especially, really, because of the places that Smoltz took us to, He didn't bring
scrubs.
That's probably true.
And I just, you know, Smoltz would go around and ask guys who want to play, and we played at some of the best places around the country. I mean, I look at, you know, top 100 courses in the country, and, you know, and I can mark off probably 30 of those just from my 2 years with the Braves.
Yeah,
you know,
great. And, yeah.
So it was just a beautiful time, and but it was pretty much the same guys every time. I mean, mm-hmm. I think I played one time with Chipper. He's a good golfer. But mostly it was just me, Smoltz, Maddox, first year, and then Mike Hampton, Jarrett Wright, you know, John Thompson, you know, just us pitchers for the most part. it was just us. And
what, do you pitchers have a little more time on your hands or something? I mean,
a little more.
I have what I think is a funny story. Maybe you won't think it's that funny, but I think it's funny. I got to play a pretty exclusive course in Ponte Vedra called Pablo Creek about a year and a half ago or so. And I was with a friend.
Nice privilege.
Every now and then. And I was with a friend. He may be listening. I don't think he is. But it was a really exclusive course. We played with this member. We were the only ones on the driving range along with Fred Funk that morning. We go to the tee box, and on the tee box is a foursome in front of us. And as soon as we pull up, I recognize one of them is Tim Wakefield. Former pitcher, knuckleball guy, you know. And first of all, you realize how big he is, you know. You just, you know, you don't forget, like, you forget how big these baseball players are, you know. Like, they're just solid dudes. He gets up there and just mashes one, like, right down the middle on number one. And I'm looking at my buddy Mike, and I'm like, dude, that was roped, you know. And they pull off. We shake, you know, we meet him on the first tee, shake hands, whatever. And I'm like, man, that's Tim Wakefield. That was crazy. And I get up there, and I hit the best drive I could possibly hit. I mean, just connected it. Like, had to have driven it 4 yards past Tim Wakefield. And as soon as I hit it, I went, "Suck it, Wakefield!" And that's, like, our thing that we say. Anytime we hit a good drive, it's "Suck it, Wakefield." He never heard me or saw me. Hopefully he doesn't listen.
I thought you were about to say that that you actually were 40 yards less than him.
I caught it as good as I could possibly hit it. Now, I didn't play well the whole rest of the day. But that first tee shot, I absolutely roped. And as soon as I hit it, I "Suck it, Wakefield!" All right,
he would love to hear that.
So, where can everybody check you guys out? Twitter and website and all that stuff, Russ.
Yeah, I mean, all the social media stuff is at 2GG Apparel, and our website is 2ggapparel.com, and you know, there you can really, if you go to the website now, you get to pick if you want to go to second guy or second girl. So. Yeah, so we, you know, Aaron, who we hired, you know, towards the end of last year, just done some really cool stuff with the website and
nice.
Making it fun. And but yeah, I mean, you can read all about us, see, you know, read all about our pros and you know, how we started, when we started, and stuff like that. And of course, see all of our gear. And but yeah, I mean, like my Instagram is at Boomer Sooner Forever.
Oh God, Oklahoma. And, anyway,
yeah. So Sugar Bowl champs, but anyway,
Sugar Bowl what? And, what year was that?
Yeah, and then on Twitter it's just at OU Russ, so it's all Oklahoma all the time. So, but yeah, so it's just we have fun with it, and I mean we have a great time. And you know, it's crazy just to think, you know, we're making golf apparel, you know, which we're that we're really proud of. We really think it's really good stuff.
Yep, it is good.
And we get to, you know, give back and help other people by doing that and having a blast and being a part of the golf community and stuff. And, you know, obviously me and you guys is one of the reasons, you know, why I love, I mean, you know, being able to just meet guys like you and, you know, a year later, stay in the same place and hang out and, have some fun. So that's, we have some fun with this and we love it. And we love coming down to PGA Show. Just like, I don't get enough time to mill around. I did my first 3 years. We did, you know, the last year I didn't. And then this year we'll see, but I mean, it's paradise for a golfer.
Yeah.
So, so I'm going to try to break away if I can, but we'll see. Yeah.
Well, we'll be doing some, let's see, most of our listeners will be listening to this in the next couple of days. So we'll be doing some stuff from the 2GG booth during the PGA Show. We'll do some videos and, you know, maybe interview some folks, do what we can. But it's good stuff. Definitely check out the website and the Twitter account. And it is really high quality material and golf stuff. It's just good. I love the hats. The hats are probably my favorite. They're probably not your style, Pat. They're a little edgy for you.
Yeah, a little.
Pat needs a little more, you know, earth tones.
Love the shirts, though. Shirts,
really?
Are great.
They're not too flashy for
you?
No,
I'm trying to branch out a little bit.
I don't know that the shirts would look that good with pleats, though. That's not really a pleat.
I'm not wearing pleats right now.
Well, let's recap the Career Builder Challenge. What an event we had, the Career Builder Challenge. We had another 59. We had the Swafficer take down the W. Little Georgia boy.
Yeah.
There's a Georgia Bulldog for you right there, Russ. How many Oklahoma Sooners out there on the PGA Tour winning golf tournaments?
Not many right now.
That's right, not many.
Wait, they got a pretty good program, though, don't they? Or is that
Oklahoma,
no, I'm taking
Oklahoma State.
State.
Oklahoma State's
Sorry.
Got the program.
Charlestown.
One of the cool things when Bridgestone came out with the new, you know, B330 series. Last year, I've been playing Bridgestone for a long time. Anyways, and so I get to meet those people, and so they sent me a box. It was just white. It didn't say anything on it, just white, and it was a box before they announced that they were coming out, so it was pretty sweet. Anyways, but
wow.
Hudson Swaffer signed it.
Oh, cool.
And for me. And so it was, so I thought, I, you know, at that time I didn't know who he was, you know.
Come on, Russ.
But and so then obviously I followed him and I think I got to see him one of the tournaments that, you know, we went to go see Alex play, you know, got to see him and stuff. And anyways, but so, and my son's name is Hudson, so
nice.
So that's pretty cool. But yeah, so he signed it, and signatures, you know, you don't always know what they say. And so I was doing the best I could, and so finally we figured it out. And then so I thought that was cool. I was like, hey, it's the guy that signed the box that, you know, came with those balls that said what do they say, top secret or something like that on it. Yeah. So
we don't get any of those yet. We're not big time enough for that.
Well, you know, Hudson, a lot of people say, a lot of tour players out there, you know, that he is one of the more talented players on tour. Obviously, we saw that last week with him. And we take him a lot in DraftKings. He tends to pop a lot for us. And it's because he typically is priced just at that level.
He's undervalued.
Yeah, he's always undervalued. So he finally kind of came through. He comes through a lot, but last week
he makes a lot of cuts. Yeah, I think he's made 18 straight cuts on tour right now.
Yeah. So again, he was a good pick last week. What was a rundown on our picks? Did you have? Did you do that, or did we forget to do that?
No, keep talking. I got it. Just keep talking.
All right. So
We had Adam Hadwin.
We did have Hadwin. The 59. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, the courses so far have played just incredibly easy, and these guys are about to get a little bit of a wake-up call, I think, at Torrey Pines this week. You know, it was good to see a 59. We liked him this week, and he came through for us. You know, there were guys that kind of hit some – you know, for me, my one and done this week was Emiliano Grillo. And he killed me this week. I did not – this is now 2 weeks in a row where I've had a missed cut on my one and done. So Listeners out there, if when it gets to the end of the show and we do our one and dones, don't follow me this week. Unless you like to do the opposite, you know, kind of deal. I wouldn't follow me on my one and done. But
George Costanza type stuff.
Yeah, yes. The Costanza. I like that, Russ. I like that you picked up on that.
So we had
David would not have picked up on that.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. We had 26 picks. We had a much better week as far as missed cuts. We only had 4 players miss the cut out of 26. We had 3 finish in the top 10, and we had 10 top 25s. So not a bad week. You had Zach Johnson kind of let me down a little bit, but I had some green screens, actually. It was probably it was the best week I've had all season, starting in January for the Tournament of Champions, best week I've had. So that was nice. Anything else? Any other storylines from this Career Builder Challenge?
No, I thought Mickelson played a little better than I thought.
He did play better than we thought.
You know, coming off injury. You know, you got him again this week to look at, and I'm probably going to fade him again this week, even though
the Love Mark fade paid off.
Love Mark fade was great. Luke List kind of faltered a little bit on Sunday, shot 73 Sunday, finished T41 at 8 under, but again, we said to play him over Love Mark, and that paid off. We were really high on Webb last week. He snuck in under the cut line,
man.
Just barely.
Yeah.
But again, overall, I thought it was a pretty good week. And ready for a tougher course this week at the Farmers Insurance.
Let's get into it. Why don't you tell us about the Torrey Pines North and South course, as well as the weather breakdown. And we know from your notes that you have even drawn pictures of the weather.
Yeah,
so
I did.
Can easily remember.
Yeah, so this week it's the Farmers Insurance Open in San Diego, California.
Which means a whales
something. So we're on 2 courses again. Well, last week we had 3 courses. This week, 2 courses. So we're coming down a little bit. You have the Torrey Pines South course, which is a more famous course where they have played a U.S. Open before. And then you also have the North course, which is they'll play one day, at least the first 2 rounds, they'll play either Friday on the South and Thursday on the North, or they'll flip-flop either day. But the South course will be the main course on the weekends. You know, looking at the South course is obviously a very difficult course. If you look at the last 2 years, 14 and 15, you know, it was the 4th and the 6th most difficult course on tour. You got Poana Greens this week.
POA Annua.
Last week there was a big controversy, but I think we got the greens down this week in Poana. Par 72, 7698, so 7,700 yards on the South course. That is an absolute bear. You have got to be a bomber this week. You know, you got thick rough, small greens. The North course has been changed a little bit, so I would definitely look at you know, I kind of would throw out the stats if you're looking at the North course from last year perspective, because I think it's going to play a lot more difficult this year. They've took out a lot of trees this week. They've kind of taken out some of the bunkers, and they've really made it look similar to the South course. Not as long, though. It's par 72, just over 7,200 yards, and different greens, bent grass greens this week on the North course, so I would pay attention to that. But again, overall, when you're looking at the South course, or when you're looking at the tournament this week, you really want to go just overall stats-wise on the South course, because you know, if they make the cut, they're going to be 3 days on that course. As far as the weather this week,
weather's my favorite part.
As far as the weather this week, you're going to have we've had some rain, a lot of rain actually on this course, leading up until tomorrow. You're going to have some rain tomorrow. Today they had rain. It's going to be perfect the rest of the week, but what I think with the rain that they've had on this course, from what we've heard, it is going to be playing super long, and so you're really going to have to pay attention to that. And so that's kind of the weather forecast for this week. If you look at, I like to talk about the past champs. You had Brant Snedeker last year, just a ridiculous tournament last year. We're throwing out a lot of stats and everything for how the tournament threw out. It's, get the camera out of me. And
I just got a nice comment on.
Yeah, and then so you had 2015 Jason Day. I just want to say to the listeners out there, if you haven't seen, if you're not watching Periscope, I have a freaking cell phone right in my face while I'm trying to do this. And I feel like I've held it together for the most part, but
done a good job.
It's falling apart right now. 2014, Stallings was your winner. 2013, our boy Tiger, who's back this week.
El Tigre. We're going
to talk to him, about him some.
No, I'm not talking about him.
I'm going to talk about him a little bit. And then 2012, Sneds won again. So Snedeker has your course history. He's your course horse this week, if you want to look at that.
I said, where's Russ? I don't even care.
Yeah. And so anyway, I'm gonna let David go into some stats this week because I'm done, especially with the Periscope in my face. So go ahead. Let me.
Do you know how to work that thing?
Oh my gosh.
Did you talk about the weather?
He obviously wants the camera in his face.
Did you talk about the weather?
Just go.
I don't remember.
Talk about your stat.
Yeah, so it's a difficult golf course this week. I think that's the key. You're going to have the cream will rise to the top is what's going to happen. So I'm more inclined to take the studs and, you know, take some guys who are proven a little more. South course, one of the most difficult courses on tour, the sixth and the fourth most difficult on tour.
I said that. You did you? Yeah, you checked out the tour.
The average fairway width on the south is about 25 yards, so it is tight. You know, rough's kind of nasty. We got a feeling that everybody's going to be in the rough, so you'd rather have the bombers who are going to be 20, 30, 40 yards down, a little closer to the hole. We do know that the golf course has gotten a significant amount of rain here lately. It doesn't look like, obviously, based on Pat's impeccable weather-wise information, it doesn't look like it's going to rain during the tournament, but we do know the course is wet, so that's obviously also going to play to an advantage for the Bombers. I think that's it for me. As far as stats, I'm kind of going like very few stats this week. I'm looking at like pedigree, form, a little bit of course history, but really all strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained approach, and strokes gained around the green. Those are the three stats for me. So guys gaining strokes off the tee, you're going to take advantage of the par fives that are long and are going to be farther down on some of these longer holes. Approach shots obviously speaks for itself. And then around the green, you know, if these guys are going to miss fairways and going to miss greens, I want them to be able to scramble. So those are really the only three stat boxes I checked, Pat.
Well, you know, I think you're right, though, because we're looking at, again, a U.S. Open-style course. Pedigree's key. You got to look at these guys that are going to be able to face a test like this and last all 4 days. You know, for the most part this year, especially on these easy courses that we've had so far, I've tended to look at some of the younger guys, the web.com guys. But this week, I'm probably going to be off a few of those guys this week. Now, there are a few that I like down near the bottom that I think are good values, but I'm probably going to stay, you know, fairly conservative, especially in my cash lineups as far as who I'm going to play. I'm not going to get too cute this week.
Okay. Well, let's get into the picks. Before we do that, let me tell everybody, we do have a small announcement we're going to make at the end of the show. So don't cut it off just because we get near the end, because we have an announcement we want everybody to hear at the end.
How long do I need to hold this phone?
You can do whatever you want with it. You can stop right now if you want. All right, so kicking it off in the five-digit range, we have got Jason Day, Hideki Matsuyama, Dustin Johnson coming back from Abu Dhabi, Justin Rose, and Phil Mickelson. Those are the five at the five-digit range or above. So, Pat, are we going to play guys like this? Like, what are you going to play any of these guys in a cash lineup?
Yes, I am.
So, obviously, you'll also probably play some in a GPP, I guess?
I am, too.
Okay, who are you liking?
Well, one of the things when you look at it right off the bat, you've got the three guys, Day, Hideki, and DJ, all just above 11,000. So, I think there's a little bit of a decision to be made, you know, immediately on the top as whether or not who you're going to play out of those three. Because you're not going to be able to fit even probably two of those three in your lineup.
I think you can.
Well, I mean, you might be able to and get
No, I think you can.
Okay, well... For me, I'm going to go Day, and I'm not going to that's just the direction I'm going to go. I mean, I think you got to throw 2000 last year out the window. He was sick going into the tournament, missed the cut. But if you look at, you know, his starts before this, he had three of his four starts were all top 10s with a win in 2015. So again, for me, Jason Day, there's not much of a price difference between Hideki and DJ. So I'm going to go Day. He's a class of this field. He's the best player in here, and so for me, he is going to be a staple play for me in cash and even GPP because I think he could be your winner this week.
What about DJ and guys like him and Fowler coming off of the Abu Dhabi, the travel?
I try not to get
DJ finished second.
Yeah, I try not to let that narrative play a huge part in what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I do think it could be a factor. But it's not a big deal to me. We talked about this, sometimes the shows kind of run together because I know we talked about this some last year at this time. And, crap, I just broke my pen.
Well, I'm with you on Day. I think you play him in cash or GPP. The other guy I'm playing in this category is Justin Rose. He checks every single one of those strokes game boxes for me, approach around the green and off the tee. I think Rose is a solid play, and he will likely be – I think Justin Rose will be the lowest-owned guy out of those five. I mean, he's at 10,200. Everybody loves to take Phil. DJ coming off a great week in Abu Dhabi, this being a bomber's course, I think it makes sense. Justin Rose can hit it long enough. And he is gaining strokes off the tee, checking that box. So I like Rose and Day for me. So I think I'm fading Hideki, DJ, and Phil. And the one that scares me the most out of that fade is DJ. I think if I were gonna lean one way, I think it's DJ. You know, last time we saw Hideki, he didn't play that well. That was at a course that he historically didn't play well. He finished T27th, which isn't great for Hideki given his form at the time, but. I just think, sandwich right there between Day and DJ, I'd rather have Day. So, but I think I will have a fair amount of these guys, and I think I'll have two of these guys in a lot of lineups. Like, I think Day and Rose you can put in a cash lineup even with some of the value down at the bottom.
Well, yeah, I was saying I don't think you could do a Day Hideki or a Day DJ. I think you'd have to go down below the, for me at least with my lineups this week, a Day Rose could be a really good lineup. I'm with you on Rose. So, and then there's some guys right below there that I really like as well to pair up with Day.
All right, so get into that then. So we've got the $9,000 range, which is Koepka, all the way down to Shane Lowry, our first time seeing him this year. You got Snedeker, obviously, who you said won last year under incredible conditions on that final round on Sunday, but just has a great course history here anyway. Obviously loves Torrey Pines. Probably be a pretty popular play. I mean, wouldn't you think he's probably the highest owned guy here in this range at 9,000?
Who's that? I checked out.
Oh, you checked out?
Yeah, sorry. Who was that you're talking about?
It's amazing we get anything done.
Yeah.
Brant Snedeker.
Yeah, I think Snez is going to be extremely high owned, but you look at his course history, it's just there's no debating. I think that's a pretty good price for him, really, when you think about it. So I think he'll be very high on, but I do like him this week. I love Brooks Koepka this week. The guy, he obviously checks the box on driving distance for us. He's only played here once. That was back in 2015. He was 41st. But that was sort of before he kind of broke out onto the scene. So I think Koepka is a great play at 9,900. He has really taken his time over the offseason, but if you look at his last start on tour, he had a second place finish. So Brooks to me is just one of those. I love him not only cash but GPP because I'm a recent form guy. I'm a course history guy. He obviously doesn't have a ton of course history here because he's only played once, but his recent form has been good, but it's been so long since he's played that I think a few people are going to be off of him this week. So I do like Koepka at 9,900. He's one of my favorite plays this week. Also, back on John Rahm again.
Yeah.
Again, just a very talented player. He will win this year. And I think that, he's priced about, $500 or $600 less than he was. I think $500 less than he was last week. So Rahm again at 9,200 is an incredible play. I do like him. Last one I'll mention in this category is Shane Lowry. Great course history here. He was 13th last year. He was 7th the year before that. Another guy, kind of like Koepka, who's sort of taken a long break during the offseason, but I think he's ready to hit the ground running again this year. This is just it's a good field, and so that's why you get these guys that have taken long breaks and they're finally coming back. But his last two, Shane Lowry's last two starts were both top 25s. So I do like I like Lowry as well. Those are probably my three top guys in this 9K range. How about you, David?
I'm with you 100% on Rahm. At 9,200, again, like Rose checks every box from the strokes gain category. You probably have some people who are disappointed in Rahm after last week's T34, which, you know, for a guy who saw the golf course for the first time, or all three golf courses for the first time last week at Career Builder, you know, not a bad deal. He still scores a ton. He's definitely long enough to take advantage of this golf course. He could win in a field like this. Like, I think he has that much class. So at 9,200, I like him. He might have a little lower ownership than he typically does, because normally he's one of the top five highest owned guys.
Yeah, and you know, nothing. This guy, I mean, nothing is too big. Just because this field is so strong and this is a very tough course, we've seen from day one since he's come out on tour that nothing is too big for this guy.
Right.
So I think, again, he's going to just. I wouldn't be surprised if every time he's in the field, we're going to mention him at least once. But again. Love him this week.
I'm not really feeling your Shane Lowry pick at all. I'm also not really big on Koepka, who normally I am. But
that's your man crush, man.
I know, but I think I want to see a little more recent form out of him. I don't think you're really looking at recent form. I mean, he played in December, but
I like him, especially in a GPP format. I think that he's going to be lower end than he probably normally would be. So.
My other two guys in this range, I still like Paul Casey. He still checks the boxes for me. He's not having great finishes right now. He looked pretty good in the Career Builder after the first two rounds, but then finished with a 71-75. I don't like him in cash lineups, but I still like him from a GPP play right there above Snedeker. I think he's a good pivot. And I like Snedeker. I mean, I think Snedeker in cash probably would avoid in a GPP. I'm sure he's going to be pretty high owned. I don't necessarily feel like, you know, I think the field is really strong right here, and I know he's won in strong fields, but I don't mind the GPP fade on Snedeker because I could see him finishing outside the top 10, outside the top 5. You know, he returns value in cash, but probably not from a GPP perspective.
So should we bet maybe Koepka? I get Koepka, you get Casey?
Oof.
Here's the thing about Casey to me. Yeah, I used to, you know, back in the day.
I'll do Casey and Lowry.
I can do that. But I had a little stint in the investment world, and they used to always say, don't throw good money after bad. And I feel like, and it's like when a stock's going down and you just keep throwing money and you keep throwing money at it. That's what I feel like we're getting with Paul Casey. Like, he's just not.
Okay.
He's not coming through for us when we need him to.
Let's do a side bet.
All right. I'll take Lowry over Casey.
We've not done one of those in a while.
All right. So what are we going to do? You didn't follow up with the last bet, so.
I will. I did follow up the last bet. I didn't follow up with the one from last year at the PGA show.
Okay. All right. Or
if I win,
year, so.
Are we going to say, what are we going to say? Where they finish or DraftKings points?
I think DraftKings points.
Okay. If Paul Casey has more DraftKings points than Shane Lowry, you have to. You have to memorize a rap song of my choice and then rap it and put it on for 30 seconds and put it on all our social media.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay.
If I win
mm-hmm.
and Lowry finishes higher than Casey,
mm-hmm.
you have to go out and buy some pleated pants and wear them all day. Just at work or whatever, just for the day. And you have to videotape it, like, doing it.
Where do I even get those?
I don't know. I go to TJ Maxx or something.
Okay, I'm in.
All right.
I'm in, but you'll have to help me get some.
If you need my help, I'll find you some pleated pants.
All right, deal. Good side bet there. All right, well, let's get into the $8,000 range so that we can hurry up and get down to Tiger. We've got 8,800 Daniel Berger down to Brendan Steele, who's pretty hot right now at 8,000. He's a California kid. In this range, I'll kind of kick it off. I'm really only liking One guy in particular, Gary Woodland, for me, checks the box and strokes gained off the tees in great form. We also know that he loves this golf course. He is a fan of this golf course. He's a fan of the track. Four rounds in the 60s at the Sony with 21 birdies and only four bogeys. Everybody knows Gary Woodland's long enough to take advantage of this golf course. So I really like Gary Woodland at 8,600. The other guys, I mean, I don't mind. I really don't mind anybody in this range, except I would probably be a complete fade on Grillo and Molinari at this point just because of the length. I don't really think either one of those guys can sustain. I really like Brendan Steele, but I just think, I mean, in a cash play, I don't mind him. He's not making his way in a lot of my cash lineups because of the way I'm structuring the team, but I don't mind him just because he's playing so well. He's from California. He's a West Coast guy. I mean, he's playing really solid right now with back-to-back sixth-place finishes. So that's it for me in this range. It's kind of a dead range for me.
Well, I am totally with you on Woodland. He was one of my top guys in this range. Again, obviously we know he can bomb it off the tee. I've been off of him earlier this year, but I think this is definitely the week to play him. Also a guy that I like who has never played here, but I think should do really well, is Byung-Hun An. I think at 8,400 this week, again, he is a guy that checks the boxes for me. He also was 13th last week, and then you look at his last two starts before that. He was 13th and then a 10th. You know, he's one of those that I think can really make a name for himself on tour this year. Very talented player.
I agree.
So I think you know, he's one of those you want to be on early, especially with this being, you know, kind of, you know, he's just now getting back on tour this year. Also, I really like Mark Leishman this week. He is at 8,500. He's one of those guys that's just a very consistent player, has really good course history here. You know, again, he missed the cut last year, but before that, out of eight or nine starts, three of those were top tens, including two second-place finishes. He finished second in 2014 and second in 2010 and then ninth in 2011. So I like Mark Leishman at 8,500. I think he's a very good play this week. Also one of those guys that you see pop up in majors. You know, he's not a flashy guy. He's not a guy that, you know, maybe week to week you're going to play, but he's a steady player. He can play well against very good fields like this. So I think Leishman is a really good play at 8,500. And that's pretty much it.
Well, good, because we named everybody.
We did?
Just about.
Well.
All right, let's...
I only named two guys besides Woodland.
Let's get to the man of the hour, which is Tiger Woods.
Tiger.
The GOAT.
Hey, you know Tiger has pretty good course history.
He has. They ought to just change the name of this golf course.
Yeah.
At $7,900, we heard from Tiger today in a press conference for the Genesis Open, mentioning that he's been playing golf 4 to 5 times a week, feeling good. He's going to be playing the next like 4 weeks, 5 weeks, I think. 4 out of 5, maybe, is what he's scheduled to do. Just, you know, incredible course record here. Last time he was here, he had to withdraw. The time before that, he finished 80th, but then he just freaking dominated before that.
Yeah.
Won here when the U.S. Open was at Torrey last time. You know, played pretty well the last time. You know, last time we saw him out at the Hero World Challenge. You know, no cut event. Finished 15th. You know, not too bad. 24 birdies. What do we think of Tiger? We're gonna let Russ chime in on this too.
Yeah, Russ.
Russ, you want to give us a Tiger take? Everybody's got a Tiger take, so you don't even have to. What do you think about Tiger?
Well, just miss watching him play.
Yeah.
You know, competitively. I mean, you get so used to watching him dominating and basically going to each tournament thinking, you know, there's a good chance he's gonna compete for the trophy. But I mean, I think he's saying that he's really ready to compete. That, you know, I think before is more of, you know, was happy to kind of be out there and stuff and back, and now it seems like he's talking like he's actually, like he's excited to compete, and to compete with these guys. And so, I mean, he brought a lot of fire to, you know, to the course. And so, I mean, it's hard. I'm trying to think off the top of my head if there's other guys that, you know, had that right now that have that same fire that he brought every week, you know, with just mm-hmm. the look. I mean, I think so. It'll be cool. I mean, I haven't seen that look, the intimidating look that he has on his face, you know, on the weekend that he used to have. And so I haven't seen that. And those are the things I loved. I mean, yeah, great golfer, stuff like that. But the intimidating force that, that he was on Saturday and Sunday was what I think is cool, you know, just from, you know, because that's what I try to exude on the pitcher's mound is that I was confident, more confident than the hitters were. And, you know, so they knew I went back down and just because it's a huge thing. It's a huge advantage. So so I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm hoping that he can stay healthy. And then I think if he can stay healthy, then we'll get to see some exciting stuff from him.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I really think he is going to play well this year. I think he waited long enough to get back out there. As far as, you know, what we're talking about with DraftKings this week, I'm not going to play him, but I do think he can have a good week. But you have a lot of players this week that are going to be kind of moving over to golf because football's over. You've got, you know, so it's just, you know, there's going to be some newer players to the fields, or not to the fields, but to DraftKings this week. And they like playing the guys that they know. And obviously Tiger is the top guy that people know. So I think he's probably going to be a little higher owned than he should be.
There'll be a lot of Tiger Phil stacks.
Yeah, I bet you're exactly right. So I'm going to avoid him this week, but this year I'm hoping and also do think he is going to have a good year. I think he's healthy, and so we'll see what happens. I don't know if you have the similar take, David, but that's kind of my Tiger take for this week.
No, I do. I mean, I feel like it's a good fade week for him. It's first week back. Let's kind of see what happens in a field where he's up against Jason Day and Dustin Johnson and, you know, Justin Rose and some Hideki Matsuyama. I mean, this is a serious event. This is his first, like, real tournament back with a cut, you know, full field, tough golf course. This is not an easy golf course like we saw him play at the Sony. So this is going to be a legitimate test to see Tiger play, and I do hope he plays well. I agree, like you, for the sake of DraftKings, it'll be a fade for me. One of the guys in this range that I do like at 7,700 is Tony Finau. We know Tony hits the ball a long way, checks the box and strokes gained off the tee, as well as scrambling, actually, and around the green, gaining strokes there. Tony's played this event twice. He's top 25s both times, and he's in good form. You know, tied for 20th at the Sony. He was tied for 9th at the SBS, Tournament of Champions. He's making birdies. He can take advantage of these holes. So Tony Finau is one of my favorite plays of the week, actually. I mean, you can't – you know, then also in the sevens, you got Charles Howell, who's just ridiculously underpriced yet again at $7,300. Incredible course history here, in incredible form, hits the ball a long way. I mean, I would probably play Charles Howell if I'm looking at price. Like, I would easily play him above Tiger. Easily above Charlie Hoffman. I'd really play him above everybody. Where I'd have to start thinking about it is like that Brendan Steele, Molinari range. I would play him over J.B. Holmes, over Emiliano Grillo, over Mark Leishman, over Byung-Hun An. So I just think he's grossly underpriced again. But I do think for a GPP, he's going to be super high owned. Maybe a good fade, honestly, just in a GPP. You know, just the chance to differentiate yourself there with a fade. So, but in a cash, I think he's a lock.
Yeah.
Another guy I like is Kevin Chappell. Chappell, first event back, he's gaining strokes off the tee. He's gaining strokes around the green. He typically gains strokes in approach. He also just had a baby. So nappy factor is at work. You know, you have that baby, that first event back is usually pretty good. We had our boy Baudo make his first cut since June. First event back after the baby, so it was good to see Stephen Bowditch make the cut last week. So, you know, Kevin Chappell, $7,400, I think it's a good price. We know he can score too. So Finau, Chappell, and CH3 are my guys in this category.
Well, I can't argue with you too much. Several of those guys I had written down. Finau was definitely one of the top guys I love in this category. I'm going to go on. You know, we faded Jamie Lovemark last week, but I do like him this week. His price is a lot better. It's 7,700, and again, he can hit it a long way off the tee.
You can still get Luke List at 7,200.
Yeah, but I like Lovemark this week, and you know, he had a top 30 his last two times playing in this event. West Coast guy. I think I like him this week, and I like him over List this week actually. Mm. And so, especially in GPPs, because I think people are going to be off of him because he burned so many people last week. A lot of people were on Lovemark. Yeah. We said to fade him, so we were correct. But this week, I'm flip flopping a little bit, and I do like Lovemark at 7,700. I think he's probably kind of a good pivot play off of Finau, because I think Finau is going to be much higher owned than you'll see from Lovemark. So in their GPPs, I may pivot off of Finau and go to Lovemark. But I do love Finau. I'm not saying I don't. Charles Howe again, just ridiculous. I mean, just lock him in on the West Coast. Every single lineup, yeah. Cash lineup, lock him in because he's ridiculous. So that's it for me there.
There's actually a few guys in this category I like. I'm not going to name them all just because of time, but there's a few guys in here that I like. Andrew, we get Beef Johnson, first event on the PGA yeah. Tour this year. So we're going to get to see Beef. Can't wait to see what he's got up his sleeve this year. That should be fun. So let's get into the $6,000 range. I find a lot of value in the 6,000. So this is where I feel like I'm going to have – this is why I feel like I can fit – two of those guys in the five-digit range, maybe even one in the 9K range, and then drop down here in the low sevens, you know, sixes, and play that in cash or GPP. I really like some guys down here. I've got six guys in this range I'm going to name.
Good gosh.
All right, so I'll try to go quick, though. The first one is Scott Stallings, $6,800. Finished eighth at the Career Builder with a 66 on Sunday on the more difficult course, although we know it wasn't that difficult, but it was more difficult, the stadium course at La Quinta. Scott's last three finishes at this event, 25th, 2nd, and 1st, obviously in good form, hits the ball long enough to take advantage of the of his length off the tee, so I like Scott Stallings. One of the guys I like, maybe I debated on putting him on here, but Lucas Glover still, to me, is interesting, checking the box off the tee and approach. I feel like he might be falling out of form just a touch, so I'm going to have some exposure to him, not a lot. I'll definitely like Scott Stallings more, and I'll name Michael Kim, too, for right now, and then I'll let you go, and then maybe I'll end it. But Michael Kim, checking the box, strokes gained around the green, also in good form, had a good finish at the Career Builder. So he would be a definite GPP contrarian play. He's not a long hitter, but, you know, in decent form, might make a cut. And in a GPP, might make up some ground for you. So I'll stop there and see who you say, and then I'll finish up.
Yeah, so, again, I'm with you. There are some really good value down here. One of the ones that I like a lot is John Huh.
Huh?
At 6,700. Checks the box for me on scrambling. He's got a pretty good course history. He's kind of up and down. He was 8th last year in very tough conditions, 45th the year before that. He did miss the cut in 2014, but did have a top 10. He was 6th back in 2012. So I think he could be a really good play. He tends to – he's one of those guys that just pops up out of nowhere. All of a sudden, he'll win a tournament. And so – again, for 6,700 for a guy that can win on tour, that makes cuts, that has pretty good course history. If you look at his recent form, he did miss the cut last week, but before that, he had three straight top 30 finishes, or four straight top 30 finishes with the top 10 in there. So I do like him at 6,700, really good price. Also like Nick Watney, again, coming off of an injury. So he pretty much missed all of last year due to an injury. But the guy has incredible course history here. He has played, if you look at his last just 10 years here, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 top 10s and a win on this course. I think he could be a great GPP play at 6,300. He did miss the cut last week, but again, first tournament back off of injury, great course history, so I do like him, and very cheap at 6,300. Another one I'll throw out is Robert Garrigus. I almost had Garrigus last week and almost talked about him, and I should have, because He had a pretty good week again. Well, he was 17th, but due to price, I think he was.
You got a case of the Garrigus?
I got a case of the Garrigus.
That's bad stuff. And, put some ointment on that.
But he again, has pretty good course history. He had a top 10 4 years ago here. He's made four straight cuts. A bomber off the tee. I'm not, again, you look at $6,200 for the price. That's pretty cheap for him. I would roll with some Garrigus this week. Very cheap. And also, my final guy, our boy Baudo at $6,200.
Baudo, pulling the trigger.
Baudo is going in some lineups. He made the cut last week. He is a streaky player, and I feel like the streak is coming. He's about to get hot. So, roll Baudo.
All right, I like it. I like it. I'm with you 100% on Garrigus. I think your cash game lock of the week in this range is Martin Laird at 6,500. Laird checking the box in stroke gained approach. He's got a great history here. He's in good form. He loves the golf course. I think in a cash game, especially if it's like a smaller cash contest, if it's a larger double up, I don't know about Laird because I think he's going to be pretty high owned, and in a double up, you might actually want to think about a little bit of ownership there with Martin Laird. But I like Laird a lot in cash, especially. The other one I like, the last two guys are Web.com graduates down there at the bottom. Grayson Murray is one that popped for me. Grayson had a great showing this last week at the Career Builder with a 12th place finish. Had 21 birdies in that event. Checks the box and strokes gained off the tee. He was fourth in driving distance on the web.com last year and first in scoring and birdie average. So Grayson Murray in good form, a guy like that, this course should be, should suit him just fine. And then the last guy is another guy I'm going to keep going to. The guy, he's not like overperforming his price, but he's definitely meeting value, and that's Brandon Hagee. I've been on him the last two events, and he's made the cut. He just hasn't really done a whole lot after that. But he's been one of the cheapest guys every week. And again, he's right back at the cheapest position right here at 6,000. Finished 58th at the Career Builder. Brandon Hagee, second in driving distance on the web.com, 14th in birdie average as well. So another long hitter at 6,000, making his last two cuts, maybe starting to get comfortable on the PGA Tour. I think Brandon Hagee could be one at 6,000. He'd be a scrub. You might could lock and load in a GPP and do something crazy.
Have we talked about Hagee like every week?
I have, yes.
Yes, you have.
I like Hagee.
Yeah.
He's cheap, and he bombs it, and he scores, and he's due. But he's meeting his value every week. Every week he is. So, that's that. So, a lot of guys this week. It's a full field. The Tiger is back. We're at the PGA show.
This is really, for me, this is the most excited I've been for an event all year. And then football's going away. We got our Falcons in the freaking Super Bowl, which we hadn't even talked about.
Falcons in the Super Bowl.
So, and then we got, a week break between now and the Super Bowl. We can just focus on golf. I mean, golf's going to be huge this weekend with Tiger. What a perfect event for him to come back to. I mean, there's nothing else going on. You got the Pro Bowl in Orlando where we are. You think a lot of people are going to be tuning into that?
Maybe.
Russ?
Yeah, I forgot about that until we drove
Pro
in
Bowl.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
It's Pro Bowl. And I think there's NASCAR in Daytona.
That's a few weeks.
That's
a few weeks out. But they do have a lot of events, I think, that lead up to that. You know, I do some NASCAR DFS every once in a while. I've actually done okay. But we'll have to – check out Roto Grinders for the NASCAR stuff because we're not experts there.
All right. What about our one-and-done picks?
I don't even want to do my one-and-done.
You have to. I know mine. You want me to start?
Yeah, you go first this time because I can't – I just can't even do it.
I've kind of liked hedging my one-and-done picks – against my DFS pick. So like last week I was okay on Bill Haas, but I wasn't a huge fan of him, but I picked him in one and done, which I should have picked him in more DFS lineups. But this week I'm going to do similar. I'm going to do Brandon Steele this week. The California guy, great form, long enough to do well on this golf course. I don't really see myself using him on a lot of other events. I'd rather use him on the West Coast. So for me, Brandon Steele is one.
You know what I'm going to do? Just because I want to get some money on the board, I'm going Charles Howell this week. I got to get some money on the board. So I'm going.
No, I mean you might as well use him on the West Coast, though.
Yeah. So I'm going. I'm going.
Although isn't like, I mean, he's played every event, hasn't he? Or how many events? I guess he didn't play the. He didn't play the Tournament of Champions, so.
Yeah.
He can't be that tired yet.
I'm going CH3. I mean, one and done. I have, you know, 2 weeks in a row zeros. It's just that's the only direction I can go.
I can't even match you for that. We got some good stuff coming the PGA show this week. Like I said, we're going to be doing some live video. We're going to be doing some stuff for the PGA show. Going to show you some cool stuff. And we are, let's see, we're going to be doing some stuff with 18 Birdies, which is a golf app, pretty cool app. Mm-hmm. Going to be doing a fun video for them. We'll be on Sirius XM Radio on Wednesday. 12:15, I think. 12:15-ish. 12:15-ish.
On Inside, we're going to try to take over that whole hour.
Yeah.
Carl, if you're listening.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah. On Inside the Rose with Carl and Dennis Paulson. And what else? There's no telling, man. Like, we're going to straight hustle this week, so there's no telling what all could happen. The last announcement that we do have is it's a gift to you, the listener. We've had a few people ask us about European Tour DFS, and we have heard your cry, and we've got a secret weapon doing Euro Tour DFS. And the reason, what are you laughing at?
Aldo.
Is he on there?
Yeah.
We've got a guy, he is over there across the pond. I'm not exactly sure where he is exactly, but he's over there.
We know he's across the pond.
We know he's over there. And he has a really thick accent, and we hooked up during the Ryder Cup and shared some DFS knowledge, and big-time golf fan. He's making fun of my hair, isn't he?
No, I'm looking at your hair right now, actually wondering if I see a few grays up there.
You do. Yeah, okay. there's some gray hairs.
All right,
there.
Go ahead. We've got a big announcement here.
Yeah. So he's going to be writing some DFS content for us on the European Tour contest. He's grown up over there. He knows the golf courses. He knows the conditions they play under. He's just really familiar with a lot of the players. He's a great golfer himself. He's a scratch golfer. He's a
teaching pro
over there. Also, I think he plays on some mini tours.
Yeah.
We'll get you his bio here pretty soon, but we're really excited to have him with us. And if you are interested in getting that content for free for right now, it is going to be you'll have to go on the website tourjunkies.net, go to the contact form and email us and let us know that you're interested in that. But in a few weeks it will be on the website for anyone to access for free. It's going to be good stuff, and we'll get you your Euro Tour DFS stuff. So that's it. That's the announcement.
It was a great announcement.
It's the announcement. It's exciting.
Yeah.
What else?
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
Well, Baldo's got a lot for you.
Baldo probably does have a lot. Baldo. Go troll someone else, man.
God. All right, let's wrap it up.
All right, Russ, you got anything you want to add? Russ is like, no.
This is interesting.
Hey, Russ, we appreciate you being on the show,
man.
We know you got a lot of good things going on.
I kind of have to be. I'm staying here too. So.
I can't go to bed till you guys shut up.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for downloading this week's episode of the Tour Junkies podcast. May your screens be green, and check us out, PGA Show. Follow us on Twitter at @tour_junkies for all the fresh content. See ya. Out.